Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 3rd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global stocks slide as concerns over trade take center stage.
India joins China and Mexico as tariff targets for the White House.
Treasury yields tumble as bond volatility reaches a two-year high.
Oil falls and gold gains as investors seek havens.
President Trump has arrived in the UK for the start of his three-day visit, plus Secretary of State Pompeo says the U.S. is ready to talk with Iran. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Swartz. Red Sox beat the Yankees. Mets lost at Arizona. The Warriors topped the Raptors, tied up the NBA Finals.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The global stock sell-off continues this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 8.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 79. NASDAQ futures down 33. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. The CAC in Paris down 0.2%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.9%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was little changed. 10-year Treasury up 9.37. Seconds, yield 2.09%. Yield on the two-year, 1.87%. NYMEX crude oil up about 0.7% or 35 cents to $53.85 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $8.40 to $13.1950 an ounce. The euro, 1.1175 against the dollar, and the yen, 108.34. Nathan.
Karen, trade war concerns remain in focus on several fronts now. We begin in China, where the government's out with a white paper blaming the Trump administration for the breakdown in trade talks. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
The blame was laid significantly at the feet of the U.S., so China saying the U.S. reneged on its promises, saying that the tariffs that have been imposed will impact and hurt U.S. consumers and U.S. corporates, and saying that if you want to get a deal with China, you're going to have to remove those tariffs, you're going to have to downgrade your demands. We also had an investigation launched into FedEx that China said was partly as a result of retaliation from their side in terms of the U.S. sanctions on Huawei.
All eyes now turn to this month's G20 summit in Japan, where Presidents Trump and Xi Jinping could meet to discuss the standoff.
1 week from today, U.S. tariffs on goods from Mexico take effect as the Trump administration pressures the country to stop undocumented workers from crossing the southern border. White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney says the president is deadly serious about putting levies in place. He spoke on Fox News Sunday, heard right here on Bloomberg Radio.
This was an immigration matter. It is not a trade matter. So the USMCA is a trade discussion. That's ongoing. That's why Bob Lighthizer is meeting with his Mexican counterparts this week. This is an immigration matter, and the two are separate.
President Trump says Mexico is sending a delegation to Washington on Wednesday to discuss the situation.
And meanwhile, you can add India to the list of countries swept up in the trade storm. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. The White House has ended India's designation as a developing nation. President Trump says India has not assured the U.S. that it will provide equitable and reasonable access to its markets. By terminating the designation, it ends an exception that allowed India to export nearly 2,000 products to the U.S. duty-free. India says it offered resolutions to the U.S. during bilateral trade discussions, but those weren't accepted. Indian lawmakers warn of a potential economic crisis. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Turning to another front now, President Trump is downplaying the chances of a trade confrontation with Australia after the New York Times reported his administration discussed imposing tariffs on the country's goods.
The Australian situation is interesting, but the relationship is very strong. No, we're doing a very special relationship with Australia.
According to the Times, some of the president's advisers want tariffs on Australia to stem a surge of aluminum from the country, though the administration temporarily decided not to take action after objections from defense and State Department officials.
Now, all these concerns are sending U.S. futures and European stocks lower, but in Asia today, we saw more of a mixed session. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann joins us from Hong Kong with details. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. After a brutal May, Asian stocks showed a bit of resilience to President Trump's new trade threats against Mexico and India. Chinese stocks were relatively calm. The CSI 300 was flat as enticing manufacturing data came out better than expected. Now, that helped lift EM currencies like the South Korean won and Taiwanese dollar, while Japanese shares ended the day nearly 1% lower. The Nikkei is set to erase all of its gains this year. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yvonne, thank you. Stocks in Europe also falling to start the week. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. European stocks in the red this morning as the trade war continues to cause more jitters in global markets. Banks, car makers and retail stocks the worst performance this morning. The Stoxx 600 make up a bit of ground from earlier, now down 0.2%. And an update on the euro area economy. Factory output dropping close to a six-year low in May. Slumping orders and declining workforces signalling a bleak outlook for demand. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thanks. Treasury yields are falling again with 10-year rates now at 2.09%. Concerns about growth are mounting and they'll likely be in focus when the Federal Reserve kicks off a conference tomorrow in Chicago. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports.
The meeting is supposed to be a chance for Fed officials to consider how they set rates at a time when the economy is strong. This is a two-day listening session to hear from outside experts. No decisions expected until next year. While current policy isn't on the agenda, with trade wars heating up, Fed officials may have to talk about the economy as well. In Chicago, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. Tune in for interviews with Chicago Fed Chief Charles Evans and Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan live from Chicago tomorrow and Wednesday on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And on the corporate front, we have a couple of acquisitions to tell you about. Infineon Technologies has agreed to buy Cypress Semiconductor in a deal valuing the U.S. target at about $10 billion.
And Blackstone Group's betting on e-commerce with an $18.7 billion deal. The company's agreed to buy U.S. logistics assets from Singapore's GLP.
And right now, futures are lower. S&P futures down 6.5 points. Dow futures down 60. NASDAQ futures down 29. The 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.09%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.88%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump is taking swipes at London Mayor Sadiq Khan as he arrived in Britain. President Trump, in a tweet this morning, called him a stone-cold loser. The president hits the ground running during his UK visit. His first stop is Buckingham Palace to meet the Queen. President Trump has hinted that he could meet with some of the top political rivals, to outgoing Prime Minister Theresa May. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The two leaders have found themselves increasingly at odds on issues from tariffs to Iran's nuclear program, but if they never warmed to each other, it wasn't for lack of trying, as evidenced by Trump's thoughts on the relationship at a London news conference last July.
I would say the highest level of special. Am I allowed to go higher than that? I'm not sure.
Indeed, May was the first foreign leader to visit Trump after he took office, and he'll be the last foreign leader to visit her before she leaves office. But the strains between the two nations will be on display. Trump won't be given the opportunity to address both houses of parliament because of opposition from some politicians, and he's expected to be greeted again by a giant balloon depicting him as a diaper-clad baby with tiny hands. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A vigil for the victims of Friday's Virginia Beach shooting attracted hundreds of mourners yesterday. The mass shooting left 12 victims dead, including city employee Keith Cox. His co-worker Christy DeWar says Cox told employees to hide in an office as he walked back into a hallway to check on others.
We were going to go out the break room, and Keith was standing there. He said, stop, stop, don't move. Get against the wall. Be silent as much as possible. Press yourself against the wall and stay quiet.
Authorities are searching for a motive by the gunman identified by police as 40-year-old Dwayne Craddock, who was killed in a shootout. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the Trump administration would be ready to negotiate with Iran without preconditions. Pompeo, who met in Switzerland with the country's foreign minister, is trying to convince European leaders the U.S. is not looking to go to war with Iran. However, Pompeo added the U.S. will not rely solely on the International Atomic Energy Agency for Iran's compliance to not build nuclear weapons.
We're doing our work to make sure that Iran never ends up in a place where it can have a nuclear weapon.
The spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry said Pompeo's comments did not demonstrate a change in U.S. policy. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thank you, Michael. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, Golden State Warriors seeking a third straight NBA championship. They like to make it hard on themselves. Five straight games they have trailed at halftime. In all five, they trailed by double digits at one point last night in Toronto. More the same, but they then scored the first 18 points of the second half. The Raptors got it down to two. Final half minute.
Goes cross court to Livingston. Good catch. Goes to Andre. He's open. Launches a three. Buried it! He buried it with 5.9 to go! Clutch shot by Andre Iguodala.
And there, he absolutely saved this game.
Warriors radio. Golden State hung on to win game two of the finals, 109-104, tying the series at one, although another Golden State injury. They're still without Kevin Durant. Now Klay Thompson, who had a team-high 25 points, left with a sore hamstring. He'll have an MRI today. Kawhi Leonard led Toronto with 34. Game three Wednesday in Oakland. The stadium, Yankees could not get the sweep. Red Sox first win of the season over New York, 8-5. Yanks scored three in heavy rain in the eighth inning, but couldn't come all the way back. David Price finally won a game at Yankee Stadium and been 0-6 with an ERA near 10. CC Sabathia took the loss. The Red Sox pulled away against Luis Sessa. Still, Yanks take 2 of 3. They've won each of their last 9 series. Their lead on Tampa Bay in the AL East is 2.5 games. The Mets lost the series at Arizona. Diamondbacks won 7-1. Steven Matz had been pitching well, not this time. And so the Mets come home having lost 17 of their last 21 on the road. Patrick Cantlay won the Memorial Golf in Ohio by 2 shots. Fourth round action continuing today at the French Open. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshauer. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. European shares are now little change to lower, while futures on Wall Street are pointing lower but pairing earlier losses. S&P futures now down 6 points. Dow futures down 61. NASDAQ futures down almost 28 points. 10-year up 7/32. The yield at 2.09%. The 2-year Treasury yields 1.88%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks declining in Europe alongside U.S. stock index futures. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 7.5 points. Dow futures down 62. NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is little change, down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. Yield 2.10%. And the yield on the 2-year 1.87%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% at $53.98 a barrel, while COMEX gold is up 0.7% at $13.20 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the Trump administration would be ready to negotiate with Iran without preconditions. The U.S. Embassy in Sudan is calling on Sudanese security forces to stop their attacks against protesters and other civilians. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Red Sox. The Mets lost along with the A's. The Giants beat the Orioles. The Nationals were winners. NBA Finals, the series is tied at a game apiece after the Warriors beat the Raptors. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:19 on Wall Street, I'm John Tucker. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. And this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day and the week ahead. Joining us in New York this morning, Madeline Lim, Executive Editor for Breaking News. In London, we're joined by News Director David Merritt. And in Beijing, we're pleased to have Managing Editor Emma O'Brien. And Emma, let's start with you. China sounds like it's preparing for a prolonged trade war with the U.S.
Yeah, the intensity levels have certainly been ramped up the past week, with China providing more of an indication of how it will push back against Donald Trump's latest tariff salvo. We're really seeing companies being brought into this fray, with the US blacklisting Huawei and looking to block a bunch of Chinese surveillance firms. Beijing, for its part, seems to have US companies in the crosshairs as well, saying it will issue their own blacklist of unreliable, quote-unquote, entities. There's some thought that will be companies that just export to China and don't have manufacturing or other operations here. But we got a taste of it with FedEx being investigated by China for allegedly rerouting some packages from Huawei. At the same time, you have China today warning students, which have become a really key source of revenue for US colleges and even high schools, about the risk of their US visas being shortened or curbed. So the stakes are definitely rising.
And Madeline Blim here in New York, the history of trade wars is not encouraging, and now we get warnings from Wall Street.
Indeed. No surprise there that JP Morgan says recession risks are on the rise in the U.S., and they see a 40% chance of a downturn in the second half, while Morgan Stanley has been warning that it's probably going to have, all this tariff talk is going to have a global impact as well, given that it's not just China, we've drawn in Mexico and India as well. That's as tariffs disrupt global supply chains and create uncertainty that makes it difficult for businesses to decide to invest and when to invest. We've seen some of the signs of this weakness in the global data, and later today watch that global, the US manufacturing PM ISM report for any kind of impact.
David in London, you have a visitor, and he's not shy about inserting himself into domestic affairs.
That's right. Well, it didn't take long. I think he was touching down at Stansted Airport before he fired off some rather aggressive tweets about the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan. I mean, not so surprising. Mr. Khan and Mr. Trump have previous, as they say, of hurling insults at each other. But, you know, he's now off to this afternoon be meeting with the Queen and a big state banquet tonight at Buckingham Palace. And what we're watching for a bit more closely is any more interventions in the political scene here in Britain. Not only the Brexit mess, of course, but the fight to become the next Tory leader. He's already given a sort of tacit endorsement to Boris Johnson in an interview over the weekend. Pretty unusual for the US president to intervene in that discussion, so we'll be watching closely. And of course, is an endorsement for Mr. Trump likely to be a hindrance or a benefit? We'll have to wait and see.
Donald Trump's visit to the UK. And Emma, Boeing tried to reassure airline bosses at a meeting in Singapore. It was a tough crowd.
Yes, the airline CEOs from all the world's major carriers, they've been meeting for their annual conference. It's the first IATA conference since that second Boeing 737 MAX crash in Ethiopia. And a lot of those chiefs speaking there and who we interviewed were very skeptical about getting that plane ungrounded anytime soon. Carriers demanding a very thorough review before it's allowed back in the skies. And they're also concerned that not all aviation regulators will get on board at the same time, which could mean even more delays. And of course, compounding Boeing's issues, we had the FAA late Sunday saying that some of Boeing's planes, including some of the grounded MAXs, needed to be inspected because they have wing components that are prone to cracking. So a long road ahead for Boeing there.
And Madeline, if you're data dependent, you'll be paying close attention this Friday. What can we expect from the jobs report?
Well, we can expect a rise of 185,000. That's the consensus. That's down from April's 263,000, but that was a gangbuster report. We'll be looking for a steady unemployment rate of 3.6% and an uptick in average earnings to 0.3 from 0.2. Pay attention to the breadth of job creation, because to see whether those tariffs are having an impact on the domestic economy, which is what drives growth overall in the U.S.
Speaking of growth, let's head to Europe. David, Europe sweating the prospect of tariffs. Against that backdrop comes an ECB meeting this week. What to expect there?
That's right. Growth or not much growth. The ECB sometime been talking about a pickup in growth in the second half this year. Well, we're nearly in the second half of the year and not much sign of that. Instead, more worries around the global outlook amid all these tariffs and the trade war. This important meeting on Thursday, they're going to be talking about some more stimulus, perhaps, in fact, that might be needed. The big debate, whether they need to add some more or take it away. Mario Draghi, meanwhile, setting off into the sunset. He'll be heading out the door. What will his legacy be? We'll have more of a clue at his press conference here on Thursday.
And Madeline, while some of us were on the beach this weekend, there was some wheeling and dealing going on. Real quick, deal news.
Real quick, yes. So Infineon buying Cyprus, basically to offset some of its troubles that it's been having in China. And Blackstone buying a whole lot, $18.7 billion in U.S. warehouse logistics assets, but it's basically warehouse space to support e-commerce. Retailers need warehouses as we buy more and more things online because we want it delivered immediately.
A merger Monday. Madeline, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Madeline Lim here in New York. David Merritt in London and Emma O'Brien, she joined us from Beijing. But this is in a morning when futures point to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures down 9 points. The Dow futures down 82. The NASDAQ futures 36 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. It's 6:25 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, China blames the U.S. for the breakdown in trade talks, plus all the latest business and financial news to start you off with the trading month. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower to start the new trading month. The S&P 500 lost $1.7 trillion in May. Treasury yields are falling with the rate on the 10-year at 2.10%. Meanwhile, J.P. Morgan now sees 10-year Treasury yields at 1.75% at year-end.
Trade war concerns remain in focus, with China's government publishing a white paper blaming the Trump administration for stalled negotiations. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
China says the trade war has not made America great again, poking fun at President Trump's slogan. And it says it won't be pressured into concessions. The paper says the trade actions have done serious harm to the U.S. economy, increased production costs, higher prices, and damage to growth in people's livelihoods. The two countries should talk, it says, but with sincerity, mutual respect, and equality. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Meanwhile, 1 week from today, U.S. tariffs on goods from Mexico take effect. President Trump vows to stand firm on that plan if Mexico fails to stop undocumented workers from crossing the southern border.
They're sending a big delegation right here to the White House on Wednesday, as I understand it, and we'll see what can be done. But if it's not done, you know what we're going to be doing, and I'm really okay with that.
The president also terminated India's designation as a developing nation, thereby eliminating an exception that allowed the country to export nearly 2,000 products to the U.S. duty-free.
In deal news, Infineon Technologies has agreed to buy Cypress Semiconductor in an acquisition valued at about $10 billion, plus Blackstone Group's making a big bet on e-commerce. It's agreed to buy warehouses from Singapore's GLP for $18.7 billion.
U.S. aviation regulators say airlines worldwide must inspect more than 300 of Boeing's 737 family of aircraft, including some of the grounded MAX jet. They have wing components that are prone to cracking and must be repaired within 10 days.
And in Europe, Britain's manufacturing sector unexpectedly shrank in May for the first time since the direct aftermath of the 2016 Brexit vote. IHS Markit's manufacturing PMI dropped to 49.4 from 53.1 in April.
S&P futures are down about 10 points this morning. Dow futures down 94 and NASDAQ futures down 39. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32. Again, the yield 2.10% and the yield on the 2-year 1.87%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants. Now here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump has started his 3-day trip in Britain. During his visit, the president will meet with outgoing Prime Minister Theresa May. As he departed yesterday from Washington, President Trump ruled out a meeting with the London mayor, Sadiq Khan.
Oh, I don't think much of him. I think that he's the twin of de Blasio, except shorter.
That was a reference to New York City Mayor and 2020 presidential candidate Bill de Blasio. Later this morning, the president tweeted that Khan was, quote, a stone-cold loser, after Khan said President Trump did not deserve the red carpet treatment. Protesters will be coming out to express their displeasure with the president's visit. Bloomberg's Robert Hutton has more from London.
White House advisers are seeking to keep the president focused on the pomp and circumstance of meeting Queen Elizabeth and on honoring the role of the U.S. and its allies in World War II, rather than trying to achieve any policy changes with Theresa May. But for all the efforts that diplomats on both sides will make to insist that the visit is going smoothly, the coming days will see them on high alert. In London, Robert Hutton, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is trying to convince European leaders that the U.S. does not want to go to war with Iran and says the administration is ready for talks without any preconditions. However, while in Switzerland, Pompeo also says the U.S. will not rely solely on the International Atomic Energy Agency for Iran's compliance.
But the American effort to fundamentally reverse the malign activity of this Islamic Republic, this revolutionary force, is going to continue.
Pompeo was responding to Iran's President Hassan Rouhani's expression of willingness to negotiate with the U.S. as long as his country wasn't bullied into doing so. Kevin Hassett will soon be leaving his role as chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Hassett has vigorously defended President Trump's signature tax cuts. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
Nathan, NBA Finals tied at 1. Warriors got the split in Toronto, taking game 2, 109-104. Raptors led by 12 in the first half, but Golden State began the second half with an 18-0 run. Raptors didn't score a point. First 5.5 minutes of the third quarter, they did cut the lead to 2, but Andre Iguodala's three-pointer with 6 seconds left sealed the Golden State victory. Steph Curry didn't make a basket until late in the first half. He finished with 23.
The whole fourth quarter, they're playing some janky defense, just trying to send bodies to me everywhere. And our whole roster just took advantage of it. Like, over the course of the game, that's kind of disrespectful to leave Andre Iguodala open like that, you know, with the game on the line. He's made big shots like that before, and he got it done tonight.
Klay Thompson scored 25, then left with a sore hamstring. Draymond Green, an assist shy of a fourth straight triple-double. Kawhi Leonard led Toronto with 34. Game 3 is Wednesday in Oakland. David Price had never won a game at Yankee Stadium and been 0-6. His ERA was near 10. But last night he outpitched C.C. Sabathia, who lost for the first time since April. Gave up a couple of home runs. J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, both with their 12th of the season. Luke Voit at his 15th for the Yanks. We're down 8-2. Luis Sessa having given up 5 runs. An 8th-inning rally in the rain fell short, and the Red Sox avoided getting swept, winning 8-5. In Phoenix, Steven Matz served up 2 home runs. First inning, Mets had only 6 hits against Merrill Kelly, who struck out 10. The Diamondbacks won 7-1, so the Mets come home after a 2-5 road trip. American Patrick Cantlay, second career win, the Memorial in Ohio by 2 shots. American Madison Keys has won her first set today at the French Open. Sophia Kenin, off the win over Serena Williams, lost the first set in her match. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Coming up today, Apple kicks off its Worldwide Developers Conference in San Jose. We get more on the event now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's a big event with thousands of developers attending. CEO Tim Cook and other leaders will be making a keynote presentation to unveil updates of Apple's operating systems and a new approach to apps. Sources say the changes will showcase Apple's new generation of devices and software. While the developer conference is software-focused, the company often sprinkles new hardware announcements in at the event. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. It's coming up to 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
The Supreme Court is poised to decide whether to allow the Commerce Department to undermine the 2020 census by adding a question on citizenship. With luck, some startling new evidence on the administration's reasons for making this change will persuade the justices to stop it. The question is unnecessary for enforcing the Voting Rights Act, its alleged purpose, and it could lead to an undercount of millions of Hispanics. This, in turn, would skew congressional districts and the distribution of hundreds of billions of dollars in federal money. Now, computer files indicate that a deceased Republican redistricting expert recommended adding the citizenship question, after his research showed it would help Republicans gerrymander to better effect. If a bad policy, shown to be dishonestly advanced, is stopped by the Supreme Court in its tracks, that would be good news. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
It is a mystery as haunting as they're called. What is killing an unusual number of gray whales that have been washing up dead on West Coast beaches? U.S. scientists are launching an official investigation. About 70 whales have been stranded so far this year on the coasts of California, Oregon, Washington, and Alaska. About 5 more have been found on British Columbia beaches. It's the most since more than 100 washed up back in 2000. A similar investigation into those deaths failed to identify a cause. The Fisheries Division of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, just declared the latest spike in gray whale deaths, an unusual mortality event, providing additional resources to respond to the deaths and triggering the investigation into the cause. Gray whales have made a comeback in the last decade. The agency says the population has grown significantly and is now estimated at 27,000. They were removed from the endangered species list in 1994. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And futures on Wall Street are heading deeper into the red now, with S&P futures down almost 11 points, Dow futures down 99, NASDAQ futures down 43 points. The DAX in Germany lower by nearly 0.25%, CAC in Paris down 0.2%, FTSE 100 in London down 0.4%. 10-year up 7/32, the yield 2.09%, 2-year Treasury yield 1.87%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, pomp, protest, and tweets from President Trump as he arrives in the UK. We'll check in with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are under pressure as China ramps up its response to the tariff hikes. Dow futures currently down 96 points, S&P's drop 11, and NASDAQ futures decline by 42. The U.S. 10-year yield slips to 2.1%, and Japan fell 0.9% overnight. Well, European markets are also trading lower this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, ISM manufacturing, employment, and prices paid, as well as construction spending. In deal news, Infineon will buy Cypress Semi for $23.85 a share, and Humana confirms it will not propose combining with Centene. In the tech space, Piper said that Apple is already seeing strong interest for a 5G iPhone. And in other news, DuPont is buying back $2 billion in stock, and J.P. Morgan now sees U.S. 10-year yield at 1.75% at the end of the year, down from 2.45%. Wrapping things up, Big Lots was downgraded to underperform at Bank of America, and FedEx price target cut to a street low 136 from 161 at UBS. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump have been honored at a small welcoming ceremony upon their arrival in the UK. The president was met by the U.S. Ambassador to Britain, Woody Johnson, Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, and other dignitaries. President Trump kicked off the trip with a tweet blasting London Mayor Sadiq Khan, calling him a stone-cold loser after Khan said the president did not deserve the red carpet treatment. China warned its students studying in the U.S. to be vigilant as the Trump administration steps up restrictions on academic visas amid growing trade tensions between the two countries. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Red Sox 8-5. The Mets lost along with the A's. The Giants beat the Orioles 8-1. The Nationals were winners. In the NBA Finals, the series is tied at a game apiece after the Warriors beat the Raptors. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where President Trump says he will give Mexico a week to stop migrant flows into the U.S., or else he's slapping 5% tariffs on all Mexican imports. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney tells Fox News Sunday,
he's absolutely deadly serious. In fact, I fully expect these tariffs to go on to at least the 5% level on June 10th. The president is deadly serious about fixing the situation at the southern border.
But lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are wary, including moderate Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia.
Oh, no, no, not the way we're going here. I've said, Mr. President, please, the 2013 major immigration bipartisan bill that we passed is a bill that needs to come back. Please, Mr. President, let's fix immigration and border security. We need both.
He was on CBS's Face the Nation. Mulvaney also appeared on NBC's Meet the Press, where he was asked whether President Trump accepts Russia interfered to help him get elected in 2016.
The short question is yes, Russia did attempt to interfere in our election. There's no question. Let's not lose sight of the fact that it was the previous administration that let that happen.
House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff tells ABC's this week he wants former special counsel Robert Mueller to testify about intelligence he didn't include in his report, and he'd be willing to subpoena.
As painful as it may be, and as much as it may subject him to further abuse by the White House, he has a final duty here to perform, like any other witness.
Attorney General William Barr opened an investigation into how the Russia probe started and whether it was tainted by FBI bias. Senate Intelligence Vice Chair Mark Warner tells Face the Nation,
if they had not acted, it would have been the height of irresponsibility. There was evidence of Russian intervention. I wish, candidly, in many ways, the Obama administration had done more to get this message out.
Republican Senator John Kennedy was on the same program with this advice for Democrats thinking of impeachment.
Go to Amazon online, buy a spine, and do it. But go hard or go home. If you're not going to do it, then let us get back to work.
And that is just some of the conversation from the political shows you hear every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. And Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is back with us on this Monday morning. And as colorful as Senator Kennedy's comment was there on Face the Nation on Sunday, Kate, he raises an interesting question. As Congress gets back to work, how much focus is there going to be on this impeachment question, or can lawmakers get something done in terms of policy?
Well, I think certainly Democrats in the House in particular, where they have a majority, are going to be under a lot of pressure, particularly from their left flank and for more progressive lawmakers in the House of Representatives to pursue impeachment proceedings, whatever that amounts to, whether it's doubling down in the short term on congressional investigations that have been launched by various committees or actually starting impeachment proceedings. I think that it's going to be harder and harder for the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and her lieutenant and other party leaders to avoid this question.
Although, of course, the president is in the United Kingdom this week. He'll be heading to France as well. Does that take some of the pressure off with the president focused more perhaps on international issues?
Well, I think it injects another tricky element when it comes to figuring out how Speaker Nancy Pelosi is going to handle this, because, you know, it is one thing to say that the president needs to be investigated and potentially entertain the possibility of impeachment when the president's in the United States, but when he's on foreign soil, even if it's only, you know, the UK, which obviously has very close ties to the U.S., there's, you know, traditionally there's been kind of a hesitation, and understandably so, to, you know, highlight these internal divisions or really try try to be very critical of the president when he's overseas. We've seen that ramped back a bit, given that Trump has been engaging in domestic policy while he's been traveling. But I think it's something to keep in mind in terms of, you know, how Pelosi might play this. If she were to take any steps towards impeachment, I would anticipate that she'd likely wait for Trump to get back to Washington.
We should talk a little bit about how the president is apparently commenting, I guess you could say, on domestic politics in the UK. I mean, even before he landed in London, he was making comments about the mayor of the city.
Yeah, he's had a long-running feud with Sadiq Khan, who's the mayor of London. They've been trading barbs back and forth and did so again over the weekend. And then we saw Trump moments before he landed on Air Force One here in London. We saw him take aim at Sadiq Khan again and essentially call him, as was just reported, a stone-cold loser and say that he was foolish for being critical of Trump himself. And so, you know, I don't know what this really amounts to. He wasn't planning to sit down with Khan anyway, but it just is one of Donald Trump's many, you know, feuds that he likes to fuel on Twitter, and in some ways, you know, does distract from some of these more pressing questions about, you know, how he's going to interact with allies on a policy on policy matters, particularly when he gets to Europe, where he's going to be meeting with Emmanuel Macron and Angela Merkel. He's obviously had some strains with both of those leaders, and so I think that those are kind of the more key questions. But in typical Trump fashion, he likes to sow this discord and kind of draw attention to that rather than more of kind of the substantive challenges that he might be facing.
Yeah, I mean, not only is he going to be meeting with the leaders of those countries, but he said that he's making plans to meet with a potential new leader, or at least a conservative former cabinet minister who wants to be the leader of the UK, Boris Johnson.
Yeah, it's a very interesting time. Trump's trip over to the UK is coming at a very interesting time in UK politics. Not only is Brexit obviously still hanging over the UK, but, you know, the UK is also in its own sort of leadership transition right now, with Theresa May planning to step down at the end of the week as Prime Minister, or I'm sorry, as Conservative Party leader. And so I think that Trump has already weighed in now, we know, on who he would like to see or who he thinks could be a good candidate to replace Theresa May. He said that he thinks Boris Johnson would be an excellent prime minister. And so that's rather unusual to see from a U.S. president kind of weighing in on another country's leadership fight. But I think that there could be more news coming out on that front, given that Trump plans to sit down with Johnson while he's over in London.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. Connecticut has joined the $15 minimum wage club, which now counts seven states as members. Governor Ned Lamont signed a minimum wage measure that raises the wage floor from the current $10.10 per hour to $11 in October, ultimately to $15 in 2023. Connecticut officials estimate the minimum wage increase will raise wages for about 130,000 workers this year and more than 500,000 by 2024. But Joe Brennan, president and CEO of the state's largest business group, the Connecticut Business and Industry Association, says in response, not a day goes by when he doesn't hear from a small business owner, often a small manufacturer, about the impact that a steeply higher minimum wage will have on their ability to continue operating in the state. It's a point of contention. Research by the late economist Alan Krueger suggested a rise in the minimum wage actually may increase jobs. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
John, thank you. S&P futures are down 10 points this morning. Dow futures down 87 and NASDAQ futures down 41. The 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.09%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. Straight ahead for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.